Hi everyone, welcome back to the channel. So the news is pretty miserable everywhere we are. It's meant to be Christmas and we're trying to be excited, and every day you see the news and you're like, oh, what now? So I thought, let's have a bit of fun. Let's go back to the 70s. And today's video is all about the 70s products that we loved then and we still love them today. So I went as 70s as I can within reason. I've gone for it with the hair, gone for it with the denim jumpsuit. Let's talk about some of the products and some of the techniques that really have stood the test of time. So let's talk about 70s makeup. And just to make clear, I'm not saying that these things were created in the 70s, but arguably they were at their most popular in the 70s, or they gained popularity and they've stayed popular, or they've come in and out of fashion. But the first 1970s trend that still works today is glitter, sheen and shine. Now, everywhere you go, every makeup collection, it seems to me, has at least some sort of glittery component or some sort of sheen, you know, where they say what makes the skin sheen, or the shine of a highlighter. Highlighters used to be they were quite flat in one sense. Obviously, when you talk about disco, that's a whole different story. But now when you see highlighters, it's all about the metallic look. For some people, it's still about the softness of the light reflection. But for a lot, it's about trying to make the skin almost look like metal. They want this unnatural, otherworldly sheen. So arguably, you could date that back to the 70s. Now, it's a big decade. 10 years, a lot does happen. You don't start a decade and finish it with no trends in between. But if you think about glitters, there have always been sort of glittery fashions. But in the 70s, when you think about disco, that's really when glitter came into its own. And you can always search, you can Google search for images of authentic 70s glitter makeups, and they look phenomenal. Arguably, they might not have been the best formulations. There might have been a lot of drop. The glitter was probably quite uncomfortable if it got into your eye, or it might not even have been the best formulation in the sense that it might have been patchy on the skin. So you'd really need to be confident or be a makeup artist to really get the best out of it. And I don't know if anyone remembers, and you probably still get it, but you used to get glitter almost suspended in like gels or jellies, and you would pat it on. It would look very glittery in the tub or even in the... I'm trying to think, you can get glitter lip glosses, glitter liners, but when you applied it from a tube, it would feel like it was just very sparse and just lots of little individual lumps of glitter. But the formulation wasn't there. The end result didn't look as good as it looked in the pot. Well, you could probably bet your bottom dollar that in the 70s you were going to get that a lot. But you didn't care. You did what you had to do to get that result. I'm saying that as if I was there. Just missed the 70s. I was born in 1980, but I have an affinity to it because you know yourself, when you are in the first year of a new decade, it's still morphing from the old one. So I feel as if the early 80s, when I was growing up, you definitely did have your 80s influences were there, but there was still a lot of kickback from the 70s. So I have an affinity with the 70s, although the truth is I love all the decades. So your glitters, your sheens, your shines, again, take a look at the magazine covers of the day. There was a lot of fresh, healthy skin. Now, you've always got your different trends, but you had this glow. They really were looking for the fresh, you know, all-American girl, somebody running through the surf, all that sort of stuff. You can look at like Cheryl Teagues and people like that. It's always very American, very Farrah Fawcett, very Charlie's Angels, just that healthy glow. So I would say definitely the glitter, the shine and the sheen are still definitely very much here today. The next 70s trend that is very much still popular is high gloss lips. So if you again look at YouTube 70s lipstick commercials, lip gloss commercials, you'll see there's almost that dripping gloss, and it would have been very sticky. And if you'd have been caught outside and it was a bit breezy and your hair stuck to your lips, that was it, you're done. But it still was very much, you know, that high shine, that mirrored look. It looked amazing. Again, it is more moving towards the mid to late 70s. Just imagine that really glossy red lip, like the Roxy Music album covers, moving into disco, where you would again see high gloss, you know, really vibrant pinks. It really was all about that glossy, glassy sheen. Extremely sticky. And again, the formulations would have been quite difficult to manage, but you would have got there. But another 70s trend that's still very much there today is that really glossy lip. Now, I would say today, most formulations will say that it's non-stick, but then you will get people, I think Lisa Rinna's got her new makeup range out. I've not tried it, But she said that she likes it to be a bit sticky. So again, it's what you're looking for, but you want it to be comfortable more than anything. And if you're going for high gloss red, then you'd have to be very careful because it's obvious that when you wear that, you're going to have to be careful that it doesn't travel or you don't get transfer, it doesn't go all over your face, doesn't spread. But yeah, high gloss, almost mirror glass-like lips. Very popular in the 70s, still popular today. Right, here's a trend that's not so popular now, but it still has its place and it will come back because they all come back and we will be laughing at it. Pencil thin eyebrows. So you've had pencil thin eyebrows all through the decades, 40s, I'd say 30s and 40s, quite thin, quite almost like half moons at certain points. In the 70s, the pencil thin eyebrow, again, just because it's in fashion doesn't mean that everybody's got it, but the pencil thin eyebrow definitely made a resurgence and it was plucked to as thin a line as possible for the people that chose to wear it. Some people wore it well and they actually planned it through, and other people just plucked too much and then instantly regretted it. We've all seen someone who's maybe plucked them and there's a gap, or plucked them and it doesn't quite work, like it's not the right shape. But a pencil thin eyebrow, again, you can look at those images and some people rock it. So it's not so much that it's still popular now, but you will see people that have naturally pencil thin eyebrows. You'll have people that choose to have them. But you mark my words, you get one thing, then you get the other. You get cycles of fashion. So the big thick eyebrow is in just now. Don't know when, it'll take a while, but at some point that pencil thin eyebrow is coming back. So it's up to you if you go for it. Most people go for the modification of something in the middle, and the main goal is that it has to suit your face shape. But that's something that started way before the 70s, but was very popular in the 70s. And I know it's a bit of a trick because it's not really popular now, but you will see that there are some people that still wear it. Tends to be though in a fashion shoot, if you see someone that you love, maybe singer, actress, model, and they're doing something really wow in a fashion shoot, that tends to be where maybe somebody will block out the brows, they'll use the makeup technique to block them out, and they'll create fake pencil thin eyebrows just to create that wow, that avant-garde look, that high fashion. So it was extremely popular. It's coming back at some point, it will do. Pencil thin eyebrows. Again, you get all sorts of colours all through the decade, but one of the trends that was huge in the 70s was your dark berries and your browns and your mulberries for your makeup. So when I was younger, I'd say about 4 or 5, I had an aunt who used to let me go into her room and let me play with her makeup. But a lot of her makeup, she maybe didn't use it all the time, but some of it was a kickback from the 70s and she just kept it. So it'd be very dark, almost like chocolate brown nail polishes. So to me, in the mid 80s, they were about as old fashioned as you could get because everyone else at the time was wearing like pastel blue and pastel yellow and vibrant neons. So I would go to cousins' houses and they would have like the cool 80s makeup. But I loved going to her house because she still had that 70s makeup that she'd kept to the side, probably to let me play with. So you had your really sort of dark chocolatey browns. Got some things here. These are not original 70s, but if you see my Biba videos, I do have some original 70s and they're very dark, very warm. So you maybe get like a dark sort of olivey green, but you can imagine someone, and you don't really get sets like this anymore. This is Models Prefer, which you don't get anymore, but I like to keep old makeup. These aren't dark enough, but you're on that right path. People used to get like their duos or their quads, and then it would have like the little tiny sponge applicator, and you either used it or you binned it. So you don't really see that anymore because times have moved on, but you would get your duo or your quad of colours that you loved. You might even have had like a single color, and that would be the only color that you'd use on your eyes, that one single color. And these are just little odds and ends that I've got. So ignore these ones here, but see all these colors? They're round about that zone of your 70s vibe, if you're going for those dark colors, because they did like, there was always some warmth to them, but they did like the olivey greens and the mulberries and the sort of dark cherries. It was quite, when people talk about the 70s, they always think about browns and oranges and avocado green bathrooms. I'd love if you left in the comments either your own memories or any other memories that maybe you went to, again, friends, families, houses, and someone had like that 70s kickback, but you loved it. But again, that was very much of the time and it's still maintained. You'll get updates on the colours, the textures, the tones, but those very dark, very warm, very rich colours, that's a really 70s vibe and that's something that has maintained and it's always coming back into fashion. And today, anything goes, so you can definitely still get those colours today. Hair care in the 70s and hairstyles, it was far and wide and it probably depended what era you were looking at and also what your tastes were. So one of the big 70s styles was definitely big bouncy curls. So it would have been the hot rollers and it would have been the extremely large bouncy curls, lots of texture in the hair, but not like the 60s where you had the height in the crown and they would have backcombed it. There would have been backcombing, but it would probably have been more flat at the top and then these big curls. You would have also had quite a lot of perming going on, men and women. So perms might have been quite tight curls. Over here in the UK, it was always a cliche that footballers had perms. And if you look at 70s footballers, you'll see a lot of perms. And it's quite funny because sometimes it was a perm and a moustache and it looked really good. Very, very popular in the 70s. And it moved on into the 80s too, so you definitely saw that. Perms for women, they tended to be sometimes extremely tight curls. You did get the looser curls, obviously, but the fashion might have been, again, to have your hair maybe, it could have been about shoulder length and then tightly curl it and bring it back up quite short. You also would have had the bowl cut, sometimes called the Purdy cut, because Joanna Lumley's character Purdy in the New Avengers had this bowl cut, if you like, and it was just this lovely, almost all, just all the way around, the heavy fringe, set back quite far, just coming all the way around, but not everybody can do that. It really depends on your hair texture, your hair type. Feathering, so there would have been a lot of feather cuts, men and women. Again, you just look at glam rockers and you can see the men that had the long hair, might have had a little fringe, long hair, lots of feathering in. Women had it too, like Susie Quattro. If you want to see some really, really good feather cuts on men, then just look at people like bands like Sweet, the Sweet are sometimes called, and you'll see a perfect example of a feather cut on a man. Natural curls, longer length hair on men was really popular too. The mullet was more the 80s, but you could argue that the roots of the mullet could be in the 70s when you saw a lot of the feather cuts and the way that the men were wearing their hair. They tended to wear it quite long as well. You could have short hair that was actually quite long because what they do is actually just grow it down, grow it quite long at the back, but it wasn't actually long hair. It was still short, but it was arguably, you could have tied it in little pigtails if you wanted. And then people that had natural curls, like men would let their hair grow. People like Mark Bolan let their hair grow and just let their natural curl do its thing. So people might have thought that they had a perm, but it was actually just their natural hair. The other big hairstyle would have been centre parting, absolutely poker straight. So that's another one. And that does always tend to be there throughout the decades in one form or another. But just having it absolutely poker straight. Now, if you've got hair that's got a curl or a frizz to it, that was always the goal, but it was very hard to achieve. And straighteners didn't reach the same heat that they did then. And you couldn't even get hold of straighteners that easily all the time. It depended where you were. So there was all these different techniques to get your hair that straight. You'll know it if you did it. Also, the products would have been a bit trickier to get hold of and the effect. So hairspray, again, you would have been able to use, but arguably it might have been not as easy to brush out of your hair and you might have had lots of tugs in your hair, really have to wash it to get all that stickiness out. You didn't really have the sprays and the texturizers. You didn't have any anti-frizz formulations, really. They would have tried their best, but again, it's all about the evolution of the product. But with hair care, you would have been quite limited because even like your gels and your mousses, they didn't really come in until the 80s. So you would have always had your styling products, but the innovation didn't really, it wasn't all there. I'd say innovation really kicked in sort of 80s onwards. But again, if you know something or you've got some knowledge, I'd love to know because we all learn together. I love learning about all the different elements of these decades, but you can't absorb absolutely everything. So I'd love to know if you lived through it and how you did your hair and the tricks that you used. I know that when it was into the punk era and people were wearing mohawks, a lot of the time they would use sugar water because it would do exactly what you needed it to do to get that mohawk up and then it would set solid. But then if it was the height of summer, people would say that we're getting chased down the street by bees, wasps and flies. So you've always got your problems. It can get an effective result, but you might be chased by all the insects that really like the smell of your sweet hair. So that's some of the main hairstyles, which again were very much of the 70s, but you could argue that in one shape or form, they're still popular and they're still used today. So skincare that was very popular in the 70s and still has its place today. Beauty bars, cleansing bars. They look like soap, but they're actually a cleansing formulation. So they were really popular in the 70s when it was much more of a basic cleanse, tone, moisturise routine. Now, arguably, it tends to be, in my experience, that the people that use the beauty bars and keep their routine extremely simple always seems to be the way that they've got the best skin. And they'll say, I don't put too much on it, I don't use too many products, I don't faff about too much. And they tend to be the ones that don't have any issues at all. Isn't that just the way? So there could be an argument for that. Maybe there's too much commercialisation, too many products, too many formulations, and maybe we're plastering too much onto our skin. I don't know. That's an argument for another day. But cleansing bars, beauty bars, you can still very much get them today. I don't know anyone personally that uses them. Most people have their preferred formulations. It could be cleansing milks, balms, foaming washes. You'll know what works for you, but those beauty bars, those cleansing bars are still very much used today. Toners were huge in the 70s. Now you still get your toners today, but there's a belief now that if you used just a simple toner, and remember back in the day, a toner used to be for tightening the pores, removing the excess product that you had on previously and refreshing the skin. And nowadays that's seen as quite quaint and quite old fashioned. And your toners now, they have to deliver something, they have to change something, they have to move something along. And it'll be like acid toning and doing this and doing that and doing the other. It's not just a toner for refreshing and settling and soothing and taking down any irritation in the skin. That seems to be a thing of the past. But toners in the 70s were extremely popular, and quite often they were quite simple in their ingredients. So it would maybe be a rose water toner or a cucumber toner or an orange essence toner. Really simple. You would probably go to the chemist and just select your toner and just keep it nice and simple. Put it on with some cotton wool balls, dab it on. It was more of a ritual, but I think those days are definitely gone and people don't see it as a ritual. They want their toner to deliver a result. They want to see something, they want to see action. And I don't think anyone nowadays would probably seek a toner that was just one step in a cleanse, tone, moisturise routine. But again, back in the 70s, absolutely huge. Huge in the 70s, obviously before the 70s, still used a lot today. A lot of people love it. A lot of people do not want to use it because of the ingredients, but Vaseline is still used a lot today. In the 70s, people would have probably had a pot in the house for all sorts of ailments. If they had scratches, if they had dry lips, but a lot of the time in the beauty world, Vaseline was used to maybe moisturise the cuticles, might have been to train the eyebrows if they were behaving in an unruly way. Sometimes it was a little bit of Vaseline on the eyelashes just to give them a bit of nourishment and moisturisation. Whether it actually does that is again an argument that a lot of people are prepared to have, but you cannot underestimate that Vaseline was an essential part of many households. It might not have been in the beauty section of the house, it might not have been on the dressing table, it might have been in the medicine cabinet, but most houses had Vaseline. It's still really handy today if you want to use it for giving a gloss to a makeup. There are other products that can do it, obviously. Still used as a barrier in a lot of treatments. So if you're getting your hair coloured, if you're having a tint, if you don't want any product to go on the skin, even with waxing, if somebody's waxing the legs and they don't want any wax to go into any areas, we'll still use some form of Vaseline petroleum jelly barrier, you know, something like that. But don't underestimate how popular Vaseline was in your skincare routine or in your, as I say, medicine cabinet back in the 70s. The last skincare trend that was huge again in the 70s and has still definitely got its place today is what they used to refer to as biological treatments, do-it-yourself treatments, basically make-it-yourself products. So as we've done many times on the channel, making your own face masks, making your own very simple moisturisers, making your own DIY scrubs, and it was huge. And again, if you look on YouTube, if you look in magazines of the time, here in the UK, they had magazines like Jackie, nearer the end of the 70s, blue jeans, things like that. And they would always have sections where they would talk about do-it-yourself skincare, and it would be the masks with oatmeal and milk and honey and avocados and using beer on your hair or lemon juice, you know, all these things, olive oil. It would be, you know, the skincare, the salt, all these things. They had their place because they were nourishing and they were inexpensive to use. And I would say in those days, what's fascinating, if you look back at the way that the magazines spoke to their target market, is they used to speak to you. Now, bearing in mind, if they probably thought you were a teenager, early 20s. They used to say, we know that you don't have a lot of money. We know you're a bit, this is maybe a British word, we know you're a bit skint, you don't have a lot of money. Money's tight this week. Here's some things that you can do for your skin. Here's some pamper things on the cheap. And people would lap it up because everybody knew that we all had budgets. But nowadays, the magazines wouldn't really talk to you like that. Nowadays, magazines are all about the affluence and the money. And they'll say, you deserve it. Buy that £60 moisturiser. Go on. This designer or this model or this celebrity's created this range. Buy this £50 makeup palette. You deserve it. So it's really interesting that from 45, nearly 50 years ago, they were talking to you as if they were understanding that your money's precious and you can't afford to buy that dress that you want. And it would literally be, we know you can't afford that dress, but here's how you can create that look, shopping in your own wardrobe, or even here's a pattern to make it yourself. They don't do that now. Now it's all about, go on, you know you want the £300 shoes, just get them. So it's much more, it's always been marketing, but now the marketing is premium. We're all expected to buy top level. And if you don't buy top level, people probably say within those zones, oh, right, okay, that's unusual. So it's interesting how things have changed. And there'll be some people that will say, do-it-yourself products? Why would you want to do that? Oh, no, I don't think so. That's a mess. Why would I want to dirty up my kitchen? No, I'll eat that. I don't want to wear it. But again, that's just individual choice, but it's also possibly moving with the times. But there are definitely a lot of people who still see the value and the effectiveness of the do-it-yourself treatments. And you just take a look, if you get a chance, at the old magazines. You'll see articles again on Google. You'll see things on YouTube. Sometimes Pinterest is really good for it. There are so many different outlets that just knew that there was an audience there for do-it-yourself face masks, do-it-yourself skin fresheners, do-it-yourself hair masks. You name it, there was a recipe for everything. So even though it didn't start in the 70s, it was extremely popular then, and it still maintained its way up until today. So I hope you found that fun. I just felt as if we needed something to take our minds off everything that's happening in the world at the moment. So this is the 70s. We've got so many more decades we can look at. We'd love to know what your memories are or your thoughts or your take on it. Have a great day, and I'll see you again soon.